Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon, and this is not Pastor Al Davis, but he will be shortly with us. He is on location doing the work of the Lord today, but this is John Lutz sitting here in studio, sitting in for Pastor Al. So he is on location at the Summit County Fair, so we want to go ahead and welcome Pastor Al to his own show. Pastor Al, welcome to your show today.
Oh, Pastor Lutz, thank you, and thank you for letting me on my own program today. Really a pleasure.
Well, I thought about it. You know, the first half hour went pretty good. I thought, you know, we could just, you know, lose the connection. But anyway, no, it's good to hear from you.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're in the studio there, but everything seems to be looking nice today. What a gorgeous day out here. We're in Talmadge, Ohio, the Summit County Fairgrounds. That's on the southeast side of Akron, and we're enjoying a great day out here at the Summit County Fair. It's really been good this year. Attendance has been up. Yeah, everybody's pretty much over the COVID nonsense. And
great.
And I've seen a few rare people that still persist in wearing a germ catcher on their face. And but other than that, nobody's worrying about it. Everybody's back to life as normal. And nobody's even been worried about monkeypox, so I'm we're okay.
Well,
back to normal. This has been the best fair in the last few years. Last 2 years, numbers were down and everything, but it's back. The commercial spaces where we're at here at the fair are filled, and we've had good attendance. Wednesday, rather, when we had some rain, it dipped down a little bit. But other than that, the attendance has been really good. Yeah. The other vendors have all been talking about how well things have been going. Yeah. And so we're excited. It's, you know, Jesus said go out into the into the highways and into the markets and things. And that's what we're doing. I mean, there's not too many places in Richfield where you can find people walking around on the streets. Not like Lakewood where you're at.
Yeah.
But, when we come out here to the fair, we've got a ton of people out, and we've had some great discussions about the Bible with people.
Good.
And challenging some unsaved people to consider the claims of the gospel message and encouraging believers in their walk with Him. And it's just been a great week out here.
That's great. Now, how long have you guys have been going out there for quite a few years now, haven't you?
I believe so. I think we've been going out here for probably 6 or 7 years at least.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go out on a limb and say we started coming out here about 2015, 16, something like that.
Yeah.
And I had always kind of wanted to come out here because when I was younger, I was in 4-H and I used to show rabbits out here and goats out here and sheep. And my sister had her chickens, and my other brother had some of his animals and things, and we were out here all the time. Of course, back then, late 70s, it was a little smaller. People still look at it as a small fair. It is one of the smaller county fairs around.
Yeah,
but it's much bigger than what it used to be. And I was telling some people in the old rabbit barn, which is now the poultry barn, that we used to be able to sleep in here with our animals. So you can't do that now.
Yeah, but, sure.
It's good. Been a number of opportunities to tour around the fair. We've had people from our church come out working at our booth. And, of course, I'm the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And we have a booth. We are located right inside of the main gates. And there are several other entrances into the fairgrounds, but we're by the main gates. And when you come in the main gate, on your immediate right is the Summit County Republican Party.
Okay.
And then there's two other guys selling some buttons and memorabilia, and then a leaf filter group, and then us.
Yeah.
We're right there. We've got a great opportunity to catch people coming and going. Yeah. We said it's kind of a mixed blessing because you know, when people are coming in, a lot of times they're focused on where they want to get to.
Yeah.
And then when they're leaving, they're ready to go. But we stay here until everybody else is closed down. And we've had some actually good conversations with people afterwards, you know, some of the late crowd coming out from the show. They have different shows every night. I think tonight is a truck pull or tractor pull or something, but people can go online. I think it's summitfair.com or just Google Summit County Fair and you can find it. But so we'll get a surge of pedestrian traffic coming by when the shows are letting out, and we're usually able to catch some people and some people think they're going to challenge us, but we always have a great time just opening up the Word of God and trying to share some biblical truth with people.
Yeah, you know, and Paul shows us this. I was thinking about every time we do this show, I always think about Paul, you know, in the book of Acts, when he goes to, when he's in the market there by Athens. And that's it. It's just getting out. Most people are so timid to want to talk about what those two things, right? Politics and religion. And and yet, they're a lot of people are so passionate one way or another on them. And I think maybe that's some of the apprehension, but you know, God's called us to be not just a preservator of truth, but a provocative element too. And I think that's a great element, you know, where some people come in, you know, we do a little community festival in Lakewood. We always thank the Lord, I think except for 1 year, we've been there 10 or 12 years now. And we always get the middle booth and where everybody has to walk by. And you know a little bit about Lakewood, and some of the conversations can be quite contentious, but they're needful. They're needs. Mm-hmm. You know, people can hide behind their doors, and that's fine, but now you've got them out in the open. So, you know, it presents a great opportunity. Are you seeing any type, like, is there one demographic that you seem to be, you know, that seems to be more open to it or more hostile to it as you're sitting there?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of hard to say because we're getting this year mostly positive. In years gone by, we've had some more, shall we say, antagonistic people. Not to say that won't happen. We still got today, all day tomorrow, and in our church will be here on Sunday as well. So there's still plenty of time for that. But one of the things, I was talking with a young man, and he's from in Akron, and he likes to get out on the street and preach. And he's a young man, and he said, what kind of advice do you have for me, you know, kind of starting out? And I was encouraging him, one, for having the willingness to do that.
Yeah.
And I said, you need to be the man that God created you to be.
Amen.
Not be somebody else. Don't, I mean, you might emulate good qualities in others, but don't imitate them. You need to be what God created you to be, with your talents, your abilities, the spiritual gifts that he's given to you. And so I've had an opportunity to talk to several people along those lines today. Yeah. Or this week, I should say.
Yeah.
And so I've seen some people who seem to be more receptive. But when I was talking with this one guy and another guy in particular along the similar lines, we were talking about the difference between, you know, when Peter preached his great message on Pentecost there in Acts chapter 2, and he had thousands of people saved. And then you brought up, of course, about Paul preaching there in Athens.
Yeah.
And he was there on Mars Hill talking about the unknown God, and he preached. When you look at that, that's a fantastic message that he preached.
Yeah.
But he had really very few results.
Yeah.
And the difference, of course, is the people in Jerusalem at Pentecost were prepared. They had an understanding of the Scripture. They believed in God. They had hearts that yearned toward the Messiah coming, and they wanted to learn. But on Mars Hill, those people, they could care less. It was just all nonsense to them. In fact, even before he spoke on Mars Hill, when he was in the markets, you had the philosophers, the Epicurians, and the Stoics saying, "Yeah, who is this babbler?"
Right.
Thought he was babbling nonsense.
Yeah.
And their hearts weren't prepared. And I used to help another guy out with a ministry that had some things similar to what we do with the three doors, three things God cannot do. And the mindset of the ministry that he was working with, was along the lines of Peter on the day of Pentecost, you know, trying to reach a prepared audience where all you had to do is show them who the Messiah that they're looking for is.
Yeah.
And they were receptive. But I said, any more now, especially in the last few years, especially since COVID, we're plowing and planting more than we're harvesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because people just don't have a clue. And many of the young people, because of COVID, you know, have grown up. And you know, now that we're 3 years into this, I guess three, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, these kids are growing up not going to church, not being in Sunday school, not being in vacation Bible school, not being around the things of God, and they're clueless oftentimes.
Yeah.
So, as I say, you just cannot say, well, here's the Romans road, now pray this prayer, bang, you're saved.
Right.
Because they don't know what you're talking about. There are some exceptions. I get to that a little later. But so it's a lot of, we're plowing up some pretty rough ground and trying to plant the seed. So we're not emphasizing trying to get people to pray a prayer while we're here, especially this year. We're just trying to pull up some of that hard ground and weed out some of the nonsense that, that people are getting and try to plant some good gospel seed. And it's God that gives the increase.
You know, it really, again, one of the things you're saying is I preached on this a few weeks ago on the radio, this liberalism, the liberal interpretation of God's words have really, I mean, our children are suffering the worst from it. They don't know what to believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they watch their parents don't know what to believe, but they're affiliating over here, and they don't even know what the truth is, and there's so much confusion about that. You know, they're reaping, unfortunately, what's been sown, and you're right. I mean, you know Lakewood. I mean, that's exactly what we're dealing with in Lakewood and have been. We went in there saying we're going to break up the fallow ground, and for the first time in 18 years, I really believe that God is about and giving us some increase and showing us that there's about to be, you know, the modern term is a breakthrough. I really think with this whole abortion issue going on, that God is preparing our church for some of the 18 years of labor in this ground, but it seems like we've lost ground than we've picked up ground. It seems like the weeds are growing faster than any fruit, but there is fruit there. And so you're exactly right. And, you know, what did God say? That he would visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate him. And to me, you couple that with the public school, there's a lot of young people, there's a hostility almost. And when I say young people, I'm talking that really, you know, maybe 18 to 30 range. There's like a hostility almost towards truth. Like, well, that's not Jesus. That's so, yeah, certainly understand that. Now you mentioned something just to kind of shift gears a little bit. So one of the provocative things you use is a little display of different doors, correct? Why don't you explain, tell people about what you do there and kind of the concept and the thought and the truth behind it.
Yeah, it just simply says three things God cannot do. And we get all kinds of reactions, everything from atheists to committed born-again Bible-believing Christians who come up saying, oh, wait a minute, that can't be true. I thought God's supposed to do everything. And of course, the first one, I challenge people, especially the younger people, saying, I guarantee everyone you know does what's behind door number one.
Yeah.
When they say they're not doing it, they're doing it. And God doesn't do it, the Bible says that he doesn't do it.
Amen.
And you'll get some curious, you know, responses. But I had mentioned earlier about some young people. I had a group the other day, about four or five kids, they were in the about the 10 to 12-year-old range, and they guessed every one of the doors.
Really?
They not only guessed what was there, they actually were able to explain what it meant to me.
Hallelujah.
And I said, this is fantastic. I said, look around you. I said, nearly everybody you see around you cannot do what you just did.
Yeah.
And of course, the first door that everybody does that God can't do, and when somebody says they don't do it, they're doing it, is lying. God cannot lie.
Amen.
And, you know, when people see that, generally speaking, they usually kind of drop their head and go, oh, yeah, that's true. And a lot of people are honest, especially the kids. You know, when I say kids, I'm talking about under the age of 10 or 12.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of these kids will say, I'll say, what happens if you say you're never going to lie again? And most of them will say, oh, you lie again. That's what happens.
That's right.
You're honest. And honest about lying.
That's right.
The second door is that God cannot change. And of course, the first door was from Titus chapter 1, verse 2,
yeah,
where it says, God that cannot lie. And then in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, he says, I am the Lord, I change not. And occasionally somebody will say, well, wait a minute, doesn't he change how he does something? Say that he changed his mind about some things? I said, well, we're talking about his fundamental nature because he's perfect. And I found that, you know, it's kind of hard sometimes to say he's holy and he's righteous, and people kind of look at you funny. But if you say perfect, and then that allows you to lead into being holy and righteous. But say if he lied, he would no longer be perfect.
Right.
So he cannot change his nature. He'll never become imperfect, which means he'll never lie.
Yeah.
And then you can use that as a springboard to talk about, you know, sin and righteousness, unrighteousness, holiness, unholiness, and things, and say, you know, here we are. We lie all the time because we're not perfect. We're unholy. We're unrighteous. We have sin, and we need to change. But what happens when you try to change yourself? And that's, again, you know, you say, I'm never going to lie again. What do? You lie.
That's right, yeah.
So that leads to the third door, which is God cannot allow sinners into heaven unless they've been born again. And that's in John 3, verse 3, where he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And that's talking about, you know, heaven. And I said, see, God cannot change his nature. He's perfect. And if he let imperfect people into heaven, it would no longer be perfect either. And so we can't change ourselves, because when we try to, we revert back to our old ways. So God has to change us, and he does that through Christ. God took the form of a man. God the Son became a man and dwelt among us, and he lived a perfect life that we can't do. Then he went to the cross where he shed his blood to pay for our sins. And when we put our faith in Christ, admit that we're sinners, admit that we can't change, and we allow him to change us. I said, then he puts his righteousness on us. I had an interesting response. Yeah, I think it was the first night of the fair we were out here. It was one of the, just shortly before we closed up and we were leaving, and people were heading out, and this one guy came, and he kind of went through the doors quickly, and his girlfriend was like, wait, I want to see that. And he got to the last one that said God can allow sinners into heaven. He goes, oh, I'm born again, and I know that's not true. And I said, wait a minute. And I explained it to him. I said, you know, your righteousness can't get you into heaven, so God puts his, Romans chapter 3, God
yeah.
puts his righteousness on you, and when he looks at you, he sees his righteousness. He slammed the door shut, turned on his heel, and stomped off at a rapid rate.
Really?
And his girlfriend's trying to hurry to catch up with him, and he never even looked back. He just was out. And
he claimed to be a born-again Christian.
Yeah, and I said to the other people that were with me after he left, I said, you know, you wouldn't think somebody who's born again would get so upset with hearing that God's put his righteousness on you.
Yeah, that doesn't even make sense to me. I mean, obviously, it reveals quite a bit of a lack of understanding and probably a lack of new birth. Wow, that's amazing. That is amazing.
And, you know, and so we get interesting responses. And then, of course, there's other vendors that are around that watch us all week.
Amen.
One of them in particular is an atheist. He's tried to lead us into some things so that he can show us why we're wrong and why he's superior in every way.
Yeah.
But we don't take the bait. We're waiting for him to, you know, finally push it to where we can respond, you know, with what the Bible has to say. And, yeah, he, And unfortunately, and this is something we need to warn our people about, he looks for people to justify his rejection of the gospel.
Yeah.
He was talking to somebody, I overheard him talking. He was saying about how he was going on about something, and this woman was trying to say that, you just got to believe the Bible. He said, so I set her up. I said, how old do you think the earth is? And she took the bait and said, it's about 6,500 years old, I think. And he said, and I had her. And then I went, he said that she looked at me and said, you must be a college boy. Education makes you unable to believe the Bible. And in his mind, it was justified.
Yeah.
And then yesterday I heard him saying to somebody that he went to a year of a Catholic school, I guess it was, or some kind of religious school.
Yeah.
He says, I was that student that asked questions.
Yeah.
Many questions.
Yeah.
They didn't like it. And I thought to myself, both of those responses, you know, the person that said, you must be too educated to believe the gospel, that's wrong. And the persons that were telling him, you shouldn't ask questions, that's wrong. This is what I think turns a lot of people off to the gospel.
It's funny you say that.
Let's ask questions.
Listen to this, brother. This last week at church, we had somebody come in who said, I went to my priest and I asked him a question about something, where something was in the Bible. And they told me, don't ask questions. You don't need to be asking questions. You just need to follow what we're doing. She came in and it was something as simple as, where is the story of Noah in the Bible? And I was here it is, Genesis, 6, 7, and 8, 9. And so she was back Wednesday night. We dealt with her after the, I mean, you brought that up. That's exactly, it's horrible that we don't provide people an opportunity to, do that. Now, we only got a few minutes left here, Brother Al. Let's transition in. Are you guys having your Bible study tonight?
We do have our Bible study, 7 o'clock at our church in Richfield. The information will be here at the end of the program. I will be out there. I'll be leaving the fair here probably about by 6 o'clock, and it's at 7 o'clock tonight, I think.
Okay.
And then I'll be out here all day tomorrow, and then some people from our church will be here on Sunday. So we'll have our regular services on Sunday.
So two things. Where is the Summit County Fair? Do you have the address? Do you know where that is?
Summit County Fairgrounds. It's the corner of Route 91 and Howe Avenue.
Okay.
So people coming from the north can come right down Route 8 and get off at Howe Avenue.
Okay.
And likewise, people from the south can do the same thing. But it's easy to find online.
Sure.
Look up Summit County Fair, Talmadge, Ohio, and it'll get you right here from where you're at. And if you come out, look for us, like I said, right inside the main gate. Saw, I believe, a man named Jerry the first day out, who listens to our program mostly on Sunday night, occasionally on Friday, and some of his sister and different ones. So always nice to see some of our listeners when we're out here, and just stop by and say hello.
And as far as the Bible study, you do entertain questions at your Bible study, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We do not come in with a set agenda. It's just like we do, especially on our Sunday night program, questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. People who come to the Bible study bring the questions, and then we just delve into the Bible together with them. And we sometimes learn some things. Some of the things we've learned, I've turned into articles some of those articles are in booklets that we have right out here at the fair with us right now, and they're available online at livewithpastoral.com. And so we're just trying to do what we can to develop that biblical worldview, point people to Christ that they can know their sins are forgiven and that they're going to be caught up to be with the Lord in the air one day. We look forward to that.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, isn't it, Pastor Al? Just getting the gospel out there and giving people an opportunity to hear the gospel, to believe the gospel. You know, God gives us the right to believe what we want to believe, but there's a responsibility, there's an accountability today whether we believe the right thing or not. And thankfully,
absolutely,
His word judges us in the last day. Get in His word now, and that's the answer. The word of truth, the salvation, the salvation that's available to us is by the word of truth. And Well, Pastor Al, thanks. We're just about out of time. Hope you do well out there, and we'll see you back in studio next week.
Well, and thank
you've been
you,
listening Pastor. To Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight, and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.